Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Redeemer Theological Academy. Confessing Christ to an Unbelieving World. With Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer.
You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Keschelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in today's lecture, we're going to go ahead and pick up where we left off last time. That would be Isaiah chapter 50, verse 2. Let's go ahead and get started. Is my hand shortened that it cannot ransom? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, by my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a desert. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst. So far the text. Now again, as we were stating before, this is a reiteration of the Exodus, recalling to memory the great acts of God in delivering the people of God from the hand of Pharaoh. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, God delivered his people through the waters of the Red Sea, and then they crossed through the waters of the Jordan River, first with Moses leading them, then with Joshua leading them. Now again, when we look at this imagery of the Exodus and look at the imagery of the water, the Lord is the one who makes rivers a desert. That is, he brings death. He humbles the self-exalted. And of course, at the same time, the Lord promises that he will exalt the humble. The people of God are the poor, afflicted, those who have been oppressed. And of course, Pharaoh, who becomes the epitome of all of these oppressors as tyrant, or in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, or whoever it may be, as king of these earthly kingdoms, they're the oppressors, the ones who rule over and dominate the people of God. And of course, as we've said many times in the past, these are all in league with the devil, insofar as they are part of this dominion of darkness, this deception, where God's word is not heard, that they try to prevent God's kingdom from coming. The Lord makes it very clear that he's the one who rebukes the sea and dries it up. He's the one who makes the rivers a desert. And of course, this will make the animals, the fish in particular, die and stink because of lack of water. It's the Lord who, on the flip side, also makes rivers in the desert. He's the one who brings life, exalts the lowly. Now, later on in the next chapter, we will see this, in particular at verse 3. For Yahweh will comfort Zion. He will comfort all its sites of ruins. And he will make its wilderness like Eden, and its desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the sound of song. Again, as we've said, the Lord is the one who provides water and life. The Lord is the one who takes away water and brings forth death. He's the one who is God alone. And when there is no water, there is thirst. But of course, the promise for God's people is that they shall not thirst, because he will lead them to still waters. Now, moving right along at Isaiah 50, verse 3. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. Now, of course, as we're talking about these images of the first Exodus, we recall the plagues that are in Egypt, this blackness, this sackcloth covering over the whole land of Egypt, in which the firstborn of all of the Egyptians would die. But through the promise of the blood of the Lamb, the people of God would be spared. There would be a passing over of those households, and their firstborn would not die. But this blackness, this sackcloth, this darkness, this covering because of death. Well, this, of course, will point towards the second exodus, or the greater exodus, when Christ our King comes to deliver us from sin, death, and the devil. And this, of course, will point toward the language and the imagery of the crucifixion, as Luke writes in chapter 23 of his gospel. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. So ultimately, that darkness, that blackness, that is the death and destruction that comes because of fallen creation, because of the rebellion of humanity against God. And this ultimately will be portrayed in the rejection of Jesus, in his crucifixion, in his death, in which creation itself would then mourn in sackcloth, and the day would be filled with darkness. Now going back to Isaiah chapter 50 at verse 4. Yahweh Adonai has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Now, with these words, I want us to notice the theme of the voice and the tongue, that is, of speaking God's word. But this is precisely what the servant of God has come to do. He has come to proclaim God's word, to preach, to bring the kingdom of God. In fact, he is the word incarnate. Now remember in the previous chapter at verse 1, listen to me, O coastlands, and listen attentively, peoples from afar. And then the servant goes on to say, and he made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow, and in his quiver he hid me away. And again, notice that this is the servant that has been sent to speak the word of the Lord. And what is he speaking to the people? He's speaking the words of salvation, the words of deliverance, the words of forgiveness. He quotes the Father who is speaking to him, in which the Father says, it is a trivial thing for you to be a servant for me, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, and to be my salvation to the end of the earth. Now again, the servant has been sent to speak the word of God. He brings the kingdom through preaching. And therefore, he says that his tongue is like those who are taught, and he is given the word that is able to sustain the weary. Of course, this is a wonderful picture of Jesus, the gentle shepherd, the one who comes as a great physician of both body and soul, the one who says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is the word of God that sustains the weary and makes one wise, for Yahweh is our teacher. Now, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the servant that has been sent, according to his human nature, he has a tongue that is learned and an ear that is ready to hear. So with his tongue, he teaches God's word. We'll also see this depicted in all of the prophets before him and all of the apostles after him. And of course, all the successors of the prophets and the apostles and the office of holy ministry, in which the word of God is placed upon the lips so that the tongue can speak clearly to the people of God. Likewise, he has an ear that is ready to hear God's word. And of course, Jesus is that perfect, true prophet, the perfect servant of God, showing to us the pattern of what all prophets and teachers and pastors and servants of God are to be, to have an ear that hears God's word so that the mouth would speak God's word. And Jesus will say, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When Jesus teaches, he teaches to open ears to hear when he pours out his Holy Spirit. Now, of course, that means to be a student, a disciple, one who has an ear to hear the word of God. But of course, one cannot decide to have an ear to hear. It is the work of God through the Holy Spirit bringing hearing to the ears, so that the ears are open to hear the voice of God. But yet it's the unrepentant sinner, the one who does not want to be a student, the one who is not humble, who refuses to rejoice in the voice of God, refuses to listen to the word of God, and therefore resists the work of the Holy Spirit. And so remember at the beginning of this chapter, where the servant says, why, when I came, was there no man? And why, when I called, was there no one to answer? Now remember, Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. And according to his human nature, he is born of the tribe of Judah. He came to his own people, and his own people received him not. They did not have ears to hear. They resisted the work of the Holy Spirit and refused to hear the voice of Jesus. Therefore, we see this constant theme throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God's own people refuse to listen to God's word. They do not have ears to hear. In fact, all humanity does not have ears to hear because of our corrupted human nature. We need a miracle. We need the work of the Holy Spirit, who will heal those deaf ears, opening them up to hear. And it's God who opens the ears of the deaf, both physically and spiritually. For the Holy Spirit is the one who enlightens us and gives us ears to see, as we have said before, that we can see and perceive what God himself reveals to us, the truth that he desires us to know, the knowledge of salvation. Now, throughout Isaiah, we have this understanding of this picture of the deaf and the blind, and that Jesus will come as the great physician to heal the deaf and the blind. But now remember, the physical healing of the deaf and the blind points toward this bodily resurrection and the restoration of creation, so that you have not only a physical healing, but a spiritual healing, so that when Jesus does these healing miracles, it shows forth that he is bringing his kingdom to these people, that first they see physically, then they see spiritually, or first they hear physically, and then they hear spiritually. Well, again, all these miracles of Jesus point toward the restoration of our fallen creation, that corrupted human nature that does not work the way that God originally intended in the beginning. But because of sin, when it enters in, it corrupts these physical characteristics, which we can see, we can hear, we can know by experience, but it also corrupts this spiritual senses, the ability to spiritually see and to spiritually hear. Now, when you look through Isaiah back at chapter 29, you have this promise of the messianic kingdom, that when the Christ comes on that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a scroll, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of gloom and darkness. Now, again, when God's own people refuse to listen and they do not want to see, this word will go out to the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles, of course, were those who were in darkness. They did not see. They could not see. They were all spiritually blind. And the Gentiles were the ones who did not have the word of God. They did not have the oracles of God, so they could not hear. So when God's own people refuse to see and to hear, that word of salvation goes out to the Gentiles to perform a miracle, to bring that new creation. That now the Gentiles can see and hear. Or again, take a look at Isaiah chapter 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Or later on in Isaiah 42, deaf people listen, and blind people look to see. Now who is blind but my servant, or deaf like my messenger whom I sent? Who is blind like the one who is repaid, or blind like the servant of Yahweh? Now remember, and now recall with me back in Isaiah 42, when we heard about these servant songs, this is where God wants us to see the servant, the true servant, the faithful servant, the one who will suffer for our sin and salvation. So back in 42, it began by saying, behold, that is, look with your ears and see. See the salvation of the Lord. So behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Now this is the one who brings salvation. He is Jesus, the one who will save us from our sins. And as we had said in the past, in chapter 42, you have a contrast between the true, faithful servant of the Lord and the false, unfaithful servant of Israel. That the people of God reject the word of God. That the people of God do not want to see and they do not want to hear. But notice how the Lord is inviting them by saying, hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. It is God's word that is efficacious. It's God's word that will effect things. God's word will open up spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear. And so the contrast is between, behold, look at my servant, my faithful one, compared to you, O Israel, earthly Jerusalem, the one who is blind, the one who is deaf, the one who has the message of God, but refuses to speak it, let alone believe in it. Now, later on in Isaiah 43, again, that same message goes out. Bring out the people who are blind, yet they have eyes, who are deaf, yet they have ears. Now, they may have physical eyes that can see physically, and physical ears that can hear physically, but these eyes do not see spiritually, and these ears do not hear spiritually, because they will have nothing to do with God in His promise. But it is the Lord who desires that there would be repentance. He does not desire the death of the sinner, but instead that the sinner is converted to faith in Him. And of course, how does that conversion take place? Well, through the preaching of the Word. So throughout Isaiah, the servant goes and he is sent to proclaim the kingdom, to preach release to the captives, those who are in tyranny in the darkness and deception of the devil, who are being held captive by this fallen creation. Another example can be seen in Isaiah 48. Look with me at this chapter, in which the Lord says, hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel and came out from the waters of Judah, who swear by the name of Yahweh and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth and not in righteousness. Or again, in chapter 49, look and see how the Lord populates his kingdom with people, in particular the Gentiles, who are also spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. So the passage begins by saying, listen to me, O coastlands, and listen attentively, peoples from afar? Or again, later on in chapter 51, in which the Lord speaks to his people so that his righteous remnant will listen. That is, that small group who rejoices in the voice of God and is comforted with the promises of Christ. So in chapter 51, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek Yahweh. Now notice how a person seeks for Yahweh, who looks for Yahweh. This person does this by hearing the word of God, in which God reveals to us so that we can see the kingdom, so that we can see the Christ, the servant, the true servant, the one who comes to restore us and to bring us back into union with God, reconciling sinner by the work of the Savior. Well, now again, he is the Word incarnate. As the word, he speaks and he brings his kingdom. So thus, in chapter 49, Adonai Yahweh has given me the tongue of those who are taught. And likewise, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. This is the sword of the Spirit, the preaching of the word of God. Now, in the mystery of the incarnation, even when Jesus was a child, the teachers, that is the rabbis, were marveling at how he was teaching. For example, in Luke chapter 2, the evangelist tells us that after 3 days, Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple. And what was he doing? Well, he was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now that's Luke chapter 2. So that in the mystery of the incarnation, according to his human nature, he is a teacher with a tongue that has been taught, even from his youth. Now, of course, there's also a point to the succession of teachers, the successors being the apostles who will take that word of Jesus proclaiming the kingdom, and the successors in the apostolic office. That is, the pastors up to our own day, that they too are given ears to hear. That's the word of God, given it clearly, the key to the kingdom, and then they are given tongues to confess. That is, to say the same thing that God has said to them. So in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus is talking to his apostles and to the 70 that will be sent out to proclaim the kingdom, which, of course, would also include the pastors in that same apostolic office, Jesus says, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." That the man who is to proclaim this word of Christ, the message of the cross, is to speak the word as it has been spoken by Christ. For Christ speaks the word as the Father has given him to speak. So if you reject the messenger who proclaims the message, you reject the one who has sent him. If you reject the preaching of the pure gospel, the proclamation of the person and work of Christ, you're rejecting not only that message, but the one who sent the messenger. You're rejecting Christ. And if you reject Christ, you reject the Father. And the one who does not have Christ does not have the Father. So Jesus will say in Matthew chapter 10 in a very similar way, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." To receive the apostle or the successors to the apostles in this apostolic office of preaching is to receive Jesus. And to receive Jesus is to receive the Father. So now here, the true servant, the perfect prophet, the one who will speak God's word clearly, in truth, with no error, he has been given a tongue as those who have been taught. But to be clear, the speaking of God's word is directly related to the proper hearing of God's word. So his ear has been awakened, it's been stirred to action. And later on in chapter 51, you'll have this same language of, "Awake, awake, and put on strength, O arm of Yahweh. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon?" And again, he has an ear that is awakened. And then later on in 51, he is the arm of Yahweh who is to be awakened. That is to take action, to rise up and to do what he says. Now, continuing with Isaiah chapter 50, we go to verse 5. Adonai Yahweh has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. Now again, notice the contrast here between the true, faithful servant of Yahweh. This is the Christ, the one who was not rebellious, the one who had no sin. He is being contrasted with the false servants, specifically the people of God who refused to listen with their ear, and those who were teachers refused to teach the clear, pure word of God to the people, so that the people did not hear the voice of God, but they heard other voices, voices that led them astray. But notice that the servant, the true servant, the suffering servant, the one who suffers for our sin, he alone is the one who has the opened ear. He alone is the one who was not rebellious, and he alone is the one who did not turn his back on God. Now, this language here is very similar to the imagery we have in Psalm 40 that teaches us about the mystery of the incarnation. Now, in particular, in Psalm 40, we hear these words, "In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your Torah is within my heart." Now, first of all, we want to notice a similarity, this language of this ear that has been opened. It has been dug out. There's no wax in there. There's nothing that is stopping it up, preventing the ear from hearing. Therefore, he has an ear that is made ready for hearing. It is open. It's ready to receive the word of God. Of course, that's in contrast to not only the false prophets, the false teachers of Israel, but also all of humanity. Humanity that is spiritually deaf and constantly plugging. By nature, we cannot hear God's word. In fact, because of original sin, because of our sin nature, we don't even want to hear God's voice. And we do everything we can to plug our ears and prevent his word from entering in. But you contrast this to the Christ, who is the second Adam, the true man, the one who has an ear that can hear spiritually. He has a desire to actually hear God's word and to do God's will, for the Torah is within his heart. Now, these words also in Psalm 40. Now, later on in Hebrews chapter 10, the Holy Spirit makes the mystery of the incarnation clear when the words that are put on the mouth of Jesus are, "A body you have prepared for me to do your will. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus."
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening. And may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.